The Simplified Life Organizing System, Module 7, Time. We live in a world of busyness, and I don't know anyone who doesn't have too much to do. Do you? The trick isn't necessarily to worry about getting it all done. Rather, it's about getting the right things done, and focusing on the priorities that you have for yourself and for your family. Plus, it just feels good to know that you're managing your time and your tasks well. And the truth is, it's easier than you think with the right strategies in place. In this module, you'll learn how to keep track of all of your household and personal tasks, and how to effectively manage scheduling your family's activities. It's so normal for all of us to want to do every single appealing thing that comes our way. And that was certainly true for one of my clients, who was scrambling to get everything done on his numerous to-do lists. And while we couldn't wave the magic wand and create more than 24 hours in each day, we were able to corral and consolidate his lists and get him focused on his top priorities and get those completed, along with many of his other tasks as well as the tasks that he had in his mind for the goals that were set for him and his family. Now he's able to feel empowered and in control of how he and his family spends their time. Let's do the same for you. Let's first discuss to-do lists, the bugaboo of many a person. The truth is, we all have too much to do, and so our lists become this endless homework chore list, rather than a purposeful list that we use to manage our time. Keep in mind that we will never, unless we die, get to the end of our lists. Our lists are not necessarily there for us to work through them to completion. I think it's more helpful to think of them as places where we park our ideas and the things we need to get to so that we can organize them and strategize which ones we're going to get to and when and how we're going to get to them. So think of them more as a parking lot for your ideas rather than the destination for where they're going to get completed. You'll probably want to keep just two lists, one list for your personal tasks and to-dos, and one list for things that are related to your work or profession. There's only one of you, and having many multiple to-do lists, I think personally, is just confusing, and I've seen very, very few people who are effectively able to manage multiple lists. You may have a list as it relates to a specific project, but I wouldn't have many multiple lists that relate to the variety of things that you personally need to do. One list for work and one list for home is a good general place to start. And your list can be computer-based, it can be on your phone, it can be on paper, it could be in a binder. It doesn't really matter. The format isn't that important. More important than the format is its accessibility. You need to be able to see your list and add to or modify it wherever you happen to be. So if you use an electronic list, great, chances are you can probably access it from your smartphone. If you're using a paper list, that's fine. You'll just want to make sure that it's in a size and a format that you can take with you wherever you happen to be. Now, as I mentioned, your list is meant to be a space for you to keep your ideas and your tasks so that you can organize them later. So let's say you've been adding tasks, notes, ideas, and to-dos to your list. And now it's time for you to start prioritizing them. In your workbook, there's a space for you to practice this. First, you'll want to set up some time daily, whether it's at the beginning or the end of each day, to go through your list, the list that you've created, because now we need to take it off of the list and start doing other stuff with it. But you'll need time set aside in which to do that. Go down your list during your pre-assigned time for when you're going to do this, and start prioritizing your list. Not everything that you capture is going to be of equal priority. Some things will be more important than others. So you'll want to start by prioritizing the most important things, the things that you want to get to and soon, the things that are really important for you personally or for your family, the highest of the items that you need to get to. Write the number one next to those for top priority. Then take another pass through your list. And you may find some things that you want to get to and soon, but they're not imminent or urgent or critical right now. Those would be number ones. Everything else that you'd like to get to and soon would be a number 2. And then your 3s, the things that remain on your list, would be things that you'd like to get to someday, that would be nice to get to, that your family might enjoy somewhere down the road, but they're not critical, not important right now. Write the number 3 next to those. Now take one more pass through your list. Everything should have either a 1, 2, or 3 next to it. On this final pass, write the letter S for tasks that could be shared with other members of your family or of your household. These are things that someone else, if you showed them what to do, could potentially do them for you or with you so that they can share the burden of doing the task, rather than you being completely responsible for it on your own. Also in this step, you might want to, after you've identified which tasks can be shared, go through each of the items on your list, the 1, 2, 3s, and the S's, and estimate how long each task might take you to complete. By doing this, you're able to not just prioritize which tasks you need to get to first, but you're able to see how long they're actually going to take you to complete, or at least have some general idea of how long they'll take you to get to. Now that you've created this list, you can take those tasks and place them onto your calendar. Your calendar is the place where you actually get things done. That's how you structure and organize your time. So you can take the list and take your calendar side by side and plug the items that are a 1 into your calendar in the times when you're actually likely to complete them. You've estimated how long they'll take, so it should be easy for you to find some spaces on your calendar where you can plug them in the time available. The 2s would be the next row of items that you would schedule. You'll find times for those after you've plugged in all of the number 1s. The 3s probably won't make the cut, at least not right away, until you've got to some of your to-do backlog. And again, the S tasks can be discussed with your family members or the members of your household. Hopefully, this is an opportunity for you to get them on board with the organizing process, because hopefully these tasks are ones that would be important to them as well. This gives them ownership of their portion of the organizing process so that they feel like they're contributing and they feel like their portion matters. And since you're tying it into some of your to-dos, they can see how what they do ties into what you're doing as well. Now, if you're sharing tasks with other people in your household, this is a good opportunity to have a central calendar that everyone can see and can contribute to. A calendar that's shared amongst people in your household can be electronic or paper. It just needs to be seen and understood, most importantly, by everyone who comes in contact with it. In the technology section, in that module, I discuss several different options for electronic calendars if you're curious about that. Additionally, you'll want to make sure that you have some structured way to communicate tasks and changes to tasks that relate to other people in your household. So it may sound a little corporate or maybe even a little bit corny, but sometimes it is helpful to have a certain time each week where you have a meeting with everyone in your household who might be responsible for different tasks or projects or calendar items. That way you can sit down together and go over any changes, anything that's new, make sure things are getting addressed, change responsibilities if needed. But if you don't have a structured way to do this, it's really honestly very hard to keep track because everyone is so busy. Even kids are busy. So you'll want to make sure that you as a family or as a household have a chance to sit down and go over these things in some structured, organized way so that it's clear who's responsible for what and when. In your workbook, write down what sort of calendaring system and calendaring strategy makes sense for your household. Now, you may be wondering what you'll do with free time. Well, congratulations if you actually have free time, because that is pretty rare and exceedingly valuable. Here are some ideas with what to do with those wonderful spare moments that happen from time to time. First, one option is to do nothing. You're not obligated to spend every moment of your time doing something productive. In fact, it can be very liberating to actually not do anything at all. with your free time. Maybe you decide that that's the time when you're going to vegetate, or read a magazine, or watch TV, or browse the internet. So that's one option. Do nothing. Another option, if you're feeling productive, would be to do something. Specifically, you would do something from your number 2 or number 3 level tasks. On your to-do list, we broke things down into 1, 2, 3, or S. The 2s were your second tier of priority, and the 3s were your I'll get to it someday list. So during spare moments or free time, that may be when you decide that's an opportune time for you to tackle some of those things that are on your someday list, or tackle the second tier of important items that you'd like to get to. So you can use your free time to do something productive, or do nothing at all, and with me, both are perfectly okay. Now, I get a lot of questions on how to manage procrastination, how to not procrastinate, as it were. And the truth is, all of us procrastinate at some point or another about something. The trick is to make sure we have some sort of strategy that works for us to help us overcome the procrastination hump. And there's no one magical strategy. Try on these different ones for size and see what works for you. The first strategy that I like, and I think this is really effective, is to keep the goal or goals or the bigger picture in mind. Because oftentimes we get stuck with the little pieces, with the small tasks, when the reality is we're usually working towards something bigger. And that something bigger is what motivates us. So instead of focusing on the small, annoying little task that's in front of us, focus on the bigger goal that we're working towards. That way you can stay motivated towards what your bigger vision is. So for instance, if you keep getting stuck going through the papers on your kitchen counter, but your big goal is to have an organized kitchen so that you can entertain people, focus on what that wonderful dinner party will be like, who you're going to invite, what sort of food you'll serve, and how having that clear kitchen counter will let you serve them in a way that you feel good about, rather than focusing on just the papers that are staring you in the face as you're trying to go through them. So stay motivated to get over procrastination. Another strategy is to get a partner, a family member, or a friend to work with you on your organizing projects. This can be a really powerful motivator. When we work with other people, the social aspect of it alone can keep us motivated. And it provides some accountability, because if you know that when your friend comes over, the two of you are both going to work on organizing your papers, chances are you're probably going to make real progress. So work with a family member, a partner, a close friend, someone that you trust and that you can feel free of judgment from, so that you can work together to make progress on your projects. Another strategy is to give yourself a deadline for finishing a project that you're working on. So for instance, maybe you decide you're going to spend half an hour working on organizing those papers on your kitchen counter. You set your timer for half an hour, and you do the most work you possibly can within that time limit. Setting a timer, rather than just holding a time in our head, can be much more effective and much more powerful than just setting aside a chunk of time and hoping that we get to something. There's something about setting a timer, especially one that ticks, that it's almost like a bomb is about to go off, and we feel compelled to complete a task during that time. So if you know that you function well with a deadline, not necessarily that you like deadlines, but that you function well with them, try setting a kitchen timer and see how that works for helping you get over procrastination. And then finally, a strategy that I think is pretty fun is to give yourself a reward for finishing a task that you're not excited about. Maybe you finish an organizing project, or maybe you work on a personal project that is not that exciting to you. And when you're done, you give yourself permission to make a personal phone call to a friend, or you take a walk around the block, or you have a cookie, or whatever a reward feels like for you. One that's, of course, commensurate with the project or the task that you're completing. You don't necessarily want to go buy yourself a new car because you've organized a box full of papers, but maybe a half an hour break is in order when that project is completed. Whatever feels like a reward to you, let that be your motivator, rather than focusing on the task at hand. in your workbook, there's space for you to write in what some of your own procrastination fighters are, or which of these strategies might be effective for you. Try them out. In your action plan, there's space for you to fill out what your next steps will be for time management as it relates to your different organizing projects and your challenges. Take a few minutes now to fill it out, and I'll see you in the next module.